Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Nicholas Mancini, currently the pastor of Sacred Heart of Mary Parish in Louisville, and he's the spiritual director for us here at Living Bread Radio. Good morning, Father.
Morning, Tim. Pleasure to be back with you.
Great to have you here again as we continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, about what we believe as Catholics. And today we're going to talk about heaven, hell, and purgatory. And we're going to do it in 13 minutes and 15 seconds. How's that?
Okay.
Let's start with heaven, Father. What is heaven?
Heaven is God's dwelling place of the angels and the saints and the goal of creation. With the words heaven and earth, we designate the whole of created reality. Heaven is not a place in the universe. It is a condition in the next life. Heaven is where God's will is done without any resistance. Heaven happens when life is present in its greatest intensity and blessedness, a kind of life that we do not find on earth. If with God's help we arrive someday in heaven, then waiting for us will be not no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And those beautiful words radiate in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9.
You know, heaven is going to be so awesome. It's where God dwells, and it's ultimately where God wants all of us to be. He wills for all men to be saved. And to me, when being saved is getting to heaven, ultimately, at the end of our life. And in order to do that, the Catholic Church teaches that we're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. So at the end of our lives, when we stand before God, we need to be in a state of grace or in a friendship with God and a relationship with God so that hopefully we can get to heaven.
Right. And, you know, I think that the beauty of heaven will just be in itself, knowing that we're in the presence of God and the glory of his heavenly mother and Jesus and the angels and the saints. And, you know, I think, too, so often of that beautiful scripture that is read on All Saints Day. And we read that and it says, who are these dressed in white, standing before the throne of God, praising his name and holding palm branches in their hands? They are our brothers and sisters. What a beautiful expression of that heavenly realm. You know, saying that they're standing before the throne of God, praising him unceasingly. Or as we say in the Mass, you know, the choirs of angels and saints, praise thy glory as we too acclaim, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Beautiful, beautiful way of looking at the realm of heaven.
Yeah, I like to think of heaven as being like this huge, awesome party that couldn't be any better. You're there with all your loved ones, your family, your friends, you know, maybe your parents who have been gone for a while. But you're all there giving glory to God. You're loving God and you're loving one another. So it's like this big love fest of awesomeness and glory and holiness that we can't even imagine. Like St. Paul tells us, we can't even imagine how wonderful heaven's going to be.
Right, right. We have no idea of the beauty of that realm of God's kingdom of heaven.
So what is hell? let's look at the other side of the coin. What is hell?
Our faith calls hell the condition of final separation from God, the absolute no to love. Jesus, who knows what hell is like, speaks about it as the outer darkness in Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. Expressed in our terms, it is a cold rather than hot. It is a horrible to contemplate a condition of complete rigidity and hopelessness, isolation from everything that could bring you aid, relief, joy, and consolation into one's life. You know, Dante, in his Divine Comedy, describes heaven, purgatory, and hell at the different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the one condition about hell, he describes the various levels of isolation. You know, those that committed the gravest sins against immorality. Those that violated God by not accepting him. Those that reject him totally, reject his forgiveness and mercy. He describes it as a cold, dark place. Now, can we imagine ourselves? Just put yourself in a closet. It's dark, and there's no light, and you're in that darkness. Imagine that for all eternity.
All alone, too.
Yeah. And just, you know, being tormented by the evils you have done. I mean, can we imagine that? I mean, how long could we sit in a room like that without anyone around us and being in that dark space, cold, alone, isolated, just contemplating the evils we have done and rejecting God?
For all of eternity.
Yes.
So hell is the condition of everlasting separation from God, and it's the absolute absence of love.
Right. There is no love there because we rejected the mercy of God's love. And we find that, you know, through the grace of the sacrament of reconciliation. Jesus offers us that love to turn away from the darkness of sin and come into the fullness of the light of that love. You know, how many times in the scripture did he forgive the sinners, welcome them back? He said, I have come not for the self-righteous, but for the sinners. And he wants them to come back to the beauty of that love because he knows he doesn't want us to be down in that darkness with Satan forever, into that place where we will be alone, thinking every day of eternity and having Satan remind us, ha-ha, yes, you were trapped in that evil state of sin, of impurity. And to hear that over and over and over again for all eternity, that is the hell. That is the torment, because there is no saying now, God, help me.
You know, that's one of the beautiful things that I got to experience in grade school is the Vincentian Sisters of Charity. They encouraged us, and once a month we went to confession.
Yes.
So being in the habit of confessing our sins on a monthly basis gets us in the habit of examining our consciences when we are thinking impure thoughts, when we miss Mass, when we're unkind to somebody, mm-hmm. when we offend God somehow in our sins.
Yeah, and you know, it's the reality of this world, Tim, that it's presenting the evils as a perfect joy. You know, so what? You know, so you go out and you cheat on your wife and so forth, or you abuse yourself, or you get drunk. You know, the devil is luring us in the beauty of so many things through the media. That, you know, our eyes are focusing in on this. Oh, we see this in these soap operas, where there's cheating going on and they're covering up and ha ha ha, it's all, you know. But in reality, if we're caught up in that web and God calls us from this life, we have made a choice. Unless we repent and ask forgiveness, if we reject God and are caught up in that trap, then we made the choice. God offered us love, mercy, peace, forgiveness, reconciliation. Come back to me with all your heart. But if we reject that and accept the ways of the world and Satan, the old saying, the world, the flesh, the devil, then we have condemned ourselves.
I remember Father Paul Schindler teaching us in grade school. He used to always say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yes.
And it's exactly the reason why we should be in the habit of monthly confession at the very least, because we get in that habit of examining our consciences and making ourselves aware of how we're hurting God and how we're separating ourselves from God. And like you just said, Father, if we die in a state of mortal sin, we've jeopardized our salvation.
Right.
And we don't want to do that.
Exactly.
So what's purgatory?
Purgatory is that place of waiting and longing, because we know we're going to be with God. It's that purifying, that purification of perhaps things we need to get cleared up in our souls yet. And God gives us that time to cleanse us, to cleanse our soul, so that we are pure then to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's that place of purification and knowing and longing that one day we will be in the presence of our Master.
So when we die, we may die in friendship with God, but we still have some imperfections and some stains of sin that need to be purged from our souls.
Right. And this would be that cleansing of those purgations of things that perhaps the Lord says, you know, you had good intentions, you did good, and so forth, but still, we still have to make up for some of that.
Yeah, the word purgatory isn't in Scripture, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, it talks about a man's work is burned up, and he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved,
mm-hmm.
but only as through fire. And the church has always taught that's purgatory.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people think of fire like you turn on your gas stove, there's the flame, or you light a fire. I think it's the longing for the fire of divine love, knowing that, yes, we're burning, our souls are burning to see God.
Well said, Father. Again, you've been listening to Father Nicholas Mancini as we go through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. This has been Tim Perry for Faith with Father. Until next time, may God bless you. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.